Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
If you're looking for a new way to support the podcast, check out W.GG, an energy supplement company trying to make a difference. There you can use code SIDEMISSION for 10% off your order. Thank you to W for sponsoring this episode, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome into the newest episode of Side Mission. All right, like always, I'm your host, Rusty Ellis, joined by just one of the boys, Matt Beck. Funny how last episode was just one of the boys, and now I've got the other boy involved in this one. And Matt, we have got a great episode on tap today because we're finally talking about Pokemon Legends ZA. And a spoiler alert for the rest of the episode is we really love this game. We love this game a lot. This is a phenomenal, phenomenal Pokemon game. And I think, Matt, it goes without saying, this feels very much, I think, at least in my opinion, I'm curious if you feel the same. It feels very much what I would like to see more of from Pokemon moving forward. It feels like a game that, like, it was described a lot when the game first came out of as this is what it probably felt like being in the show, in the anime. And yes, it very much does feel like this. It feels like the closest that we've ever been to that. And I think it works really well for this game, especially with the new battle mechanics, the real-time battling. I feel like that does a lot here. It's contained to just Lumio City, and I know that's been a hotly contested topic, and there have been people that aren't happy with that, but I do feel like that the size of Lumio City lends itself really well to allowing the game to do everything it needs to do to be successful. I feel like, Matt, as a whole, the Pokemon game that really does a good job at being a good Pokemon game.
Yeah, like, I mean, Game Freak has been on a roll, honestly. I mean, I know we had issues with Scarlet and Violet when it first came out. And since the Switch 2 came out, the update, it runs so much better. And after seeing, you know, what they managed to do with the improvements there, I didn't have a lot of, you know, concerns that Legends ZA wasn't going to run well, because it runs really well. I haven't had any single moments where, you know, I had a bug or any types of glitches. And that just made the experience playing this game so much better because, you know, we've been very hard on Game Freak, and deservedly so, because Pokemon is one of the highest grossing franchises in the world right now. And there's just no excuse for any type of, you know, for Pokemon games, especially the mainline games, because the Legends games are mainline games. Game Freak has already came out and said, regardless of how people feel about it, because they say, well, it doesn't have Generation so-and-so in there. But they are mainline games, and a lot of love and care went to this one. Like, they have improved on, especially with the battle mechanics. Like, this game, it's like what you said, it feels like that the closest to an anime that the games have gotten, because now the battles are in real time. You can move your trainer around, and the Pokemon will follow, which, you know, makes it easier to dodge moves instead of just an RNG with the base battle system, where if it misses, it's just, you know, a random number generator. Here, you can literally just run away from a move before it hits and avoid that. Plus, it also does an improvement on field status type moves like Toxic Spikes, where it actually, like, throws them out on the ground, and you can avoid it altogether. Other moves like Hydro Pump and Flamethrower, you know, these powerful moves, Hyper Beam, you can dodge these now. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that, like, Stealth Rocks is another one I think of that, like...
That is another one, yes.
It plays so differently now compared to how it plays in a normal mainline Pokemon game. Like, Stealth Rocks or Toxic Spikes, they're really good setup moves. They're really good setup moves at the start of a battle, you know, when you're going against the Elite Four or the champion of the league or one of the gym battles. They're really good setup moves, whereas now they serve almost like area of effect attacks instead. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing is like Fire Spin or Whirlpool. Moves like that, they play so differently that they actually have some use now. And I think that the battle mechanics of move, depending on, you know, the damage it does or the effect that it can have on the outcome of a battle, there's a cooldown to it instead of it being turn-based. And listen, I like the turn-based nature of Pokemon games. I think they're good, but I do feel like in playing this, I very much feel like this is a good evolution of the series, no pun intended, that it's something that I'll get into a little bit later in the episode, that it's kind of a constant. There's been a slow burn evolution of the last, I think the last four major Pokemon games that have released, not counting remakes. So not counting like Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, not counting the Let's Go games. We've seen kind of this slow build, and I'm going to dive into that again a little bit later because I think that'll be relevant later. But I do think that the way that this game changed how certain moves are used, like, for example, we both started with Totodile as our starters. My Feraligatr is now level 100. I've completed the Pokedex, by the way. I've binged the hell out of this game. and I still don't have the shiny charm yet, so I'm still working on that. But my Feraligatr at level 100 still knows Aqua Jet. Because Aqua Jet, while it's not the most powerful move in the world, it only has a 3-second cooldown. So it's a very useful move that I can use a couple of times while moves like Hydro Pump or Surf or Dragon Claw or Ice Beam, while those are cooling down still, I have Aqua Jet that I can use. And by the time I've used that once or twice, one of those other moves is now ready to go to finish a battle.
Yeah.
Or like Liquidation is another one that I've stuck with quite a bit. Because very reasonable cooldown, but it also does a lot of damage.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to add is the fact that with this new battle system, you no longer have to use up PP points, the power points, because usually you only have like a set number. Like moves like Fire Blast and Hydro Pump would have like 5 out of 5, but here it's just, you know, the reload times, and I love the fact that that's a thing that you can't run out of moves.
I do think that's a big positive here. I think that's a massive positive. And I again, think that's a change for the better. So much so that I've looked at the Legends EA, I've looked at it and said, I would love for Legends to become the new mainline game. I would love for them to become that, because I feel like when we reviewed Arceus, we really liked it. We liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I remember our review. We were also fairly tough on it. We were tough on that game. We said like, hey, this is a great first attempt at this game. Next time out, I want to see the next step. I want to see you go more all in on the stuff that makes it different from games like Sword and Shield and Scarlet and Violet. I want to see you go more all in on that. And I think they did that here. I feel like they did that here, because, Matt, the way I described it, and I loved the feel of Lumiose City,
it
feels very much like you're walking around Rhyme City from Detective Pikachu, where Pokemon and humans are learning to coexist. I like that a lot. In fact, that's a major plot element of the story with the Wild Zones, which we can go ahead and dive into. I think the Wild Zones are a really good implementation here. There obviously was a lot of backlash to the game being confined to just Lumiose City and the Kalos region, but I personally think the game pulls it off really well. I think the Wild Zones, especially when you unlock all 20 of them, I think they provide enough variety in terms of the Pokemon you can find that, to me, being limited to Lumiose City was not really a huge negative of mine. I felt like the game handled it really, really well. And I personally like the Wild Zones here because, Matt, think back to Arceus. What was one criticism we had of that? Is that, we have these big open zones, and that's cool. But they also felt really empty. And that was something a lot of people had an issue with in Arceus. Here, I feel like that issue is severely mitigated. It's severely, they handled that. That issue is not a problem here, because this is a city that feels very alive. And I think that a couple things contribute to that. The Wild Zones are a big part of it. I think the amount of side quests that you can do in the city are a big part of that. And as crazy as it sounds, the soundtrack for me also does a lot to help that. Because I feel like for a Pokemon game, the soundtrack is one of the best that's been in a Pokemon game in a long, long time. I feel like this city has an energy, a vibe all its own, Matt, and I really liked that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually really glad that you brought up the music, because I have found myself going off on YouTube and listening some of it, because it's really good, especially like the trainer battle music. I also just like the vibes of Lumiose City with the music playing, even though it's like a sweet. It's really good, and it just goes with the vibe. It goes with the tone of Lumiose City, because you know, Kalos is considered France in the Pokemon universe. And with the battle zones, one thing I wanted to comment about that is I like the fact that, you know, in Scarlet and Violet and Legends Arceus, Pokemon are confined to areas, but things it is just so random, like where they'll pop up or they'll appear. But in here, it's like you can pull up the map and you can see the silhouettes of the Pokemon that will show up in that zone, and it makes it so much easier to complete the Pokédex in this game. Like can go into like zone one and you'll find Marie, you'll find Weedle, you'll find what's another one that you find? You'll find Fletchlings. And what I thought was really cool is if you go over, you'll see like this little body of water, and straight across from there, you'll see a Pichu. And the thing is, when you leave the zone, if you, you know, come back to it, you come back to that zone, that Pichu will still be there in that exact same spot.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And the other thing that I like about this new battle system is that for the first time, when you battle a Pokemon and you knock it out, they give you a brief chance to catch it instead of just immediately knocking it out. So that's also been really cool to have that, because if I remember correctly, if you throw a Pokeball at a Pokemon too many times, you anger it. And once it's angered, you cannot catch it until you deplete its health bar and try to catch it then. I thought that was a really cool addition.
Yeah, like it's the little changes like that that I think do make a big impact on this game and that help this game ultimately succeed, again, at being a really good Pokemon game. And I think that the battle zones are another big change that it's very different, and it's a change that I liked a lot here, so much so that it's going to sound weird to say this, but I kind of hope that they don't do that again, because that feels very unique to this game. It feels very unique to Lumio City. Whereas I don't feel like in the next Legends game, and don't worry, I've set aside an entire segment for us to talk about where we would like to see the next Legends game go and who we would like to see that focused on. So I hope, Matt, that you have at least thought about that a little bit. I didn't tell Matt about this at all beforehand, but I figured that maybe that was something you'd be thinking about. So I am intrigued to see where that goes.
Yeah.
But I think the battle zones are really good. You know, when night falls over the city,
You have
these sets of zones that are available. You can go battle a bunch of trainers, and that's how you're going to stack up on money. It's how you make progress in the ZA Royale. And I think that is really so good. Cool. The ZA Royale is, again, what I like about the Legends games is that I love Pokemon. I've not hidden from the fact on this podcast that it is my favorite game series of all time. I love the gym battles. Those are fun. But I like that these games are going away from that. I like that these games are stepping into other territory. And instead of just retreading that thought of the gyms, you know, the idea of competing in this Royale and going from rank Z to rank A, even though that for some reason there is a battle that you do that promotes you from like rank V or rank U all the way up to rank F. So you don't really go all the way from Z to A, but I do think that even despite that random jump, I think that the game handles that very, very well. And I think that as well in the post game. The post game handles that very well with the infinite ZA Royale. Now, it's not as infinite as you would think. There is a set number of battles before you get to the end of the quote unquote story in the post game. But I think that it's still enough there for me to not really feel bad about paying $70 for this game. Like, I don't regret my purchase at all. And I think that I've gotten my money's worth when I look at the content. Now, it's not a perfect game by any means. There are some things that still need to be fixed. And we'll save the big issue for last. But there are some things that I wanted to discuss, Matt, regarding the discourse around the game, because I've noticed something over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And that's that, do you remember when the game first came out, what the online discourse was? People were crucifying this game. They were killing this game. They were saying, this game sucks, it's boring, it's one of the worst games ever. The last 2 weeks, I have seen nothing but love for this game online. And that, to me, confirms what I've thought all along. In that at some point, that engagement runs dry. At some point, these people that are engagement farming online, it runs dry. And all of a sudden, you saying something negative about the game that you have not even played, all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if you say anything negative about it. It's not going to go anywhere. Matt, how did you feel about not being able to go into every building and the windows looking the same and not being 3D animated? Did that matter at all to you? Because to me, it really didn't mean anything to me.
Honestly, to me personally, it's like the buildings not being able to go into them didn't mean much to me, because I mean that's not what this game is. It's not GTA. It's not like this open world. It's like a it's not open world. It's a sandbox or something like that. And like I didn't have a single thought in my head that's like, oh, what a shame that I can't go inside of this, you know, this random building. Like what I like was, you know, the additions of the Pokemon centers. There are a couple of buildings that you can go into. Like you can go into the research lab where Mabel is. You can go in, and like one thing I really like is Lumio City being based on France, and France is really based around, you know, fashion. This game has a lot of options for clothing, which I thought was really cool that you can kind of go into the shopping, the shopping area that has like all different kinds of brands of clothing, and like you can just go through all these clothes, and it's really, really cool how much customization went into there, because you know, changing clothing and all that in Pokemon games originated with X and Y, which is what the region that this is based off on. Plus, on top of that, what an addition that I liked is the fact that you can go onto the roofs and different Pokemon that are in the zones are on top of those roofs, and you can catch them. You can battle them up there. It's like I said, they did not have to do that, but they did. And I appreciate the fact that they did that, because, you know, just walking around on the ground in a giant circle isn't going to be the most fun. But they added plenty of stuff to do, especially with what you mentioned earlier, those side quests. And those side quests are a lot of fun. And we haven't even talked about the sewers, which, you know, there's more down there and more Pokemon to catch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really big positive, man. I think that, again, one thing this game nails is different Pokemon being available in different places that makes sense. Like, the first place that I saw my first shiny was, I saw a shiny Fletchling, and it was in a tree. And I know that that's such a small, small detail, but I liked it because it made sense. I liked it because that's not something that you just see every day. I mean, a lot of times these random Pokemon are just out on the ground or in the bushes. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't mind the random encounters that much. I think they're fine for the most part. But it was nice kind of seeing Pokemon in their more natural environments. Like, you know the wild zone that's kind of like an electric substation or whatever? That's where you find, like, your steel types. That's where you find, like, Aeron and Lyron. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm not going to lie. I've never known how to pronounce those. It's like, you find them there. You find like Drillbur and Excadrill there. You might find Emolga there, who's a flying electric type. You find Onix there. Like, it makes sense. And then you go to like more of the gardens, and you'll find Bellsprout. And you might find like an Alpha Victory Bell or an Alpha Weeping Bell. And you'll find stuff like that. Like, you go to some of these places. Like, you go into a back alley, and you'll see Trubbish and Patrats.
Yeah,
and I love Garbodor. Garbodor. Like, you'll see stuff like that, and it's like, I like that. You go to an area that's got like a little stream of water, and you'll see Magikarp, or you'll see like Carvanas or Sharpedos. Like, you'll see things like that, and I like that. Like, when you get to Wild Zone 20 in the post game, you go to a stream, and you might find a Squirtle. You know, it's really cool. I like that personally. I like that. Like, we're seeing Pokemon in kind of their quote unquote natural environment that's been created for them. And I like that a lot. Like, it feels again.
Hey, Rusty.
Go ahead.
What happens if you go to zone 17?
You find an alpha. Oh my God. You want a Skarmory? You better go there. You got to deal with all the Pyroars first.
It's bad. I try to outrun them.
You got to deal with an alpha male Pyroar and a whole pride of female Pyro. That is
crazy.
For the first time I got to that wild zone, I walked into the entrance that is right behind them. And I was terrified.
That's just where you surf.
I was like, oh, this sucks. But I was like, all right, I'm about to learn these pyros are going to feel like Noah probably felt when God sent the flood. Like, I mean, good Lord. Dude, it was terrifying, though. Like, it's terrifying seeing that. But again, it's really cool. And seeing, like, the funniest thing in this game is when you deal with the alpha Pokemon, they don't care at all about fighting your Pokemon.
No.
They want to fight. They don't. You.
They go right for you.
They're trying to fight you. They want to throw hands with you. Like, they do not care at all about your Pokemon. But again, like, it's stuff like that that makes this game so unique to other Pokemon games. Like, I liked that. Again, Arceus, at this point, I feel like I've heard it pronounced both ways, so I'm just, either way is fine. Like, I feel like we saw, again, them kind of dip their toes in with this concept of alpha Pokemon. And here, it feels so much more fleshed out, especially when you factor in, Matt, that Mega Evolutions are back. And
yes,
there are a lot of really good Mega Evolutions. There's a couple that aren't great, looking at you, Starmie.
Starmie? Like, what were they thinking, bro?
I don't know what they were thinking. They saw Patrick Starr from I'm a Goofy Goober, and they said, all right, make it a Pokemon. Make it a Pokemon. That's what they saw. But, like, there are also some really cool ones. Like, I know we're both a fan. Like, this is a Mega. I've not seen enough people talk about. Dude, Scraff. Like, dude, that Mega is awesome. Mega is sick. Like, he just gets this. He becomes just kind of like this emo kid with a white hoodie on. And it's like, but it fits the Pokemon perfectly. And, you know, I also was a big fan of Feraligatr's Mega Evolution. I loved that. I was like, this is sick. The fact that all these Pokemon have these different Megas, like the first Rogue Mega that you go up against is Absol. And Absol is a Pokemon.
Yes.
Absol is a Pokemon that I've tried for so long to make a viable member of my team. It's just so difficult because when you find it, it kind of is what it is. Like, Absol is a really tough Pokemon to build a team around because
it's a base dark type.
It's a very basic dark normal type. And here I feel like Absol is very viable. And I like that. I loved, you know, the different Megas that we saw. Like, Electros has a sick Mega. Electros looks awesome. I think that Mega Clefable looks awesome. Like, so many of these Megas that you go up against throughout the course of this story, I like so many of them. And I was so excited to get the Mega Stones for them as well that I feel like there are some Megas that I've not used enough yet that I still want to go back and experiment with even
more. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot.
I think there's 58 Mega Stones in the game as of right now. I think there's 58.
And they just added a new one today with Diancie.
Yeah, like, that's awesome. Like, I thought that two of the Pokemon that I thought got the coolest Megas, and they're Pokemon that I've never really utilized. I thought Chandelure's Mega was sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought Barbaracles was awesome.
Yes,
I was
dude.
A big fan of both of those.
Hawlucha's, though. I love that one, too.
I think Hawlucha's is cool. Like, Hawlucha is...
A mass wrestler.
It's kind of been a hit or miss Pokemon. I think Hawlucha is kind of overrated. I'm not going to lie. I feel bad saying that. I kind of feel like it's overrated. But Hawlucha is still a really cool one. One Mega that made its way onto my team early on, and it stayed with me for a lot of the game, was Mega Ampharos. I've never used Ampharos in a Pokemon game, and it didn't make it onto my final team, but I loved Mega Ampharos, especially the fact that you can get a shiny Mareep early on in the game.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. Like, I love that.
Yeah, adding Dragon type with Mega Evolution, like adding additional types with Mega Evolution has always been one of my favorite parts about it. It's like with Charizard, you have Charizard X, which turns him into a flying Dragon type. Just like with Altaria. When she Mega Evolves, she goes from Flying Dragon to Dragon Fairy. Like, it, I like that, and that's what I missed about Mega Evolution. And when they first announced Legend ZA, and they showed that Mega Evolution was coming back, I was just like, thank God, this is the one that switched up the whole battle system way, way back before, you know, Z-moves were a thing, before Terra was a thing, before Dynamaxing was a thing. Mega Evolution was the coolest thing, especially because it gave new forms to Pokemon who couldn't evolve.
Yep. It gave you another one that really sticks out to me, and it's one that I think has not gotten talked about enough. Mega Houndoom is sick.
I do love Mega Houndoom.
I love Mega Houndoom. Now, there is one thing that I said that left a little bit to be desired. Some Pokemon that didn't get Mega Evolutions that I really would have liked to have seen get Mega Evolution.
And yeah, I agree.
At the top of that list for me, 100% is Talonflame. I would have loved to have seen Talonflame get a Mega because Talonflame was on my team pretty much the entire game. I love Talonflame. It's one of my favorite bird type Pokemon. It's up there for me with Corviknight as I think my two favorite bird Pokemon, because Talonflame is just, it's just a sick Pokemon. It's a good typing fire flying. I like that a lot because it means I don't have to use Charizard if I want something that can learn fire moves and flying moves. And it's the fact that there are some steel type moves that it can learn. So, I mean, it's like, I think Talonflame is sick. I really would have liked to have seen it get a Mega Evolution. Was there another Pokemon that maybe you wish would have gotten one?
Thinking about it, there is one that I was very disappointed that didn't get a Mega Evolution. I'm trying to think of who it was. Give me just a minute. I'm drawing a blank on it. I was so upset when I saw the full list of Mega Evolutions for Pokemon in this game and he wasn't on it.
Do you remember typing?
Actually, you know what? I will say this. It's not so much of a Pokemon that is in the game because it's not in the game and I was disappointed at it. But for the longest time, the fandom has wanted Flygon to get a Mega Evolution, like for a very long time. And Trapinch, Vibrava, and Flygon's not even in the game. So I think that that's where my disappointment was.
Maybe just Flygon is a badass Pokemon. I do like Flygon.
And the thing was, even in interviews, Game Freak has said that Flygon was one of the Pokemon that they wanted to get a Mega Evolution, but they always come out and they're just like, we just don't have an idea for it. But I will say, I'm glad Dragonite finally gets some attention. Mega Dragonite is really cool looking, especially because it takes a lot of the motifs of Dragonair, because when, you know, Dragonair evolves into Dragonite, they don't look anything alike. But when you get Mega Dragonite, you get like the little wings on his head that are very much like Dragonair. And then you get the little pearls on his tail like Dragonair. And I was like, see, that makes sense. Not this big yellow art Barney.
I've always thought that Dragonair, Dratini to Dragonair made a lot of sense. Dragonair to Dragonite was always so weird to me. It's like they're nothing alike. There's nothing about them that is similar to each other at all. I do want to talk a little bit about the story as well, because this is where I think the biggest criticism of the game comes into play, because the story is really good. It serves as basically a sequel to Pokemon X and Y. It takes place 5 years after the events of X and Y. And I think that the most impressive part about this story is the story as a whole doesn't really have a villain. There's not really a villain in this story. Like, you could argue that it's AZ, that, you know, the creation of Ange is, I think that's how you pronounce it, is Ange, but the creation of Ange and the machine that ultimately causes Prism Tower to put off all this mega energy that causes the rogues to happen. You could argue that maybe, but like Lysander is in the game and he's not a villain at all. You've got a couple members of Team Flare that were formerly of Team Flare that, you know, they primarily feel misunderstood. You've got the Rust Syndicate with Corbeau is one of my favorite characters in the game.
Same.
Corbeau same is a very impressive. I loved Corbeau in this game. I loved his Mega. I loved his Mega Ace.
Scolipede.
I loved Scolipede. I loved that. That was awesome. But he's not really a villain either. The story finds a way to stand on its feet without there being really a villain present. And I think that's really impressive. At the same time, that makes the lack of voice acting and cutscenes really stick out. And
it does.
Listen, I don't need voice acting in the entire game. I'm okay if you're just talking to characters on screen if they don't have voice acting. But in cutscenes, there needs to be voice acting moving forward, Game Freak. There really needs to be voice acting. And I don't think that is too much to ask. You mentioned, Matt, that this is one of the highest grossing franchises in the world. Pokemon is literally the richest property in the world. It makes more than Disney. It makes more than properties like Star Wars, than, you know, properties like Lord of the Rings. I know that this is going to sound funny, but when you consider that this is a media presence that has a heavy, you know, heavy support system in Japan, it makes more than something like Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty has a massive following in Japan, and especially with kids in America, with small kids, with you know, young kids in America, Hello Kitty is a big part of a lot of people's upbringings. And Pokemon makes more money than Hello Kitty does. And that's impressive when you consider the amount of apparel and the amount of merchandise that's out there for Hello Kitty. Don't ask me how I know about all that. I don't have a closet full of Hello Kitty stuff. I'm just going based off of the facts, and I know how popular Hello Kitty is, especially in Japan. But regardless, I don't think it's asking too much to want voice acting. I don't think that's asking for too much at this point. I think that's a fair criticism. And I think that Game Freak really needs to heed that, because I do think that this is an elite Pokemon game that the next iteration in the Legend series and even in the mainline series could benefit from there being voice acting and cutscenes. Now, speaking of the next entry, Matt, I am curious. Let's say you're at the helm of Game Freak and you're looking at the next Legends game. What region are you putting it in, and what legendary is that game going to be based around? I know my answer.
So I'm going to say this personally. I think that also just based off some of the things that were said in this game, I think that the next Legends game could probably be about, could take place in Galar and be about the Darkest Day, the original Darkest Day, and that the cover could be Eternatus.
I didn't think about that. Okay, a Legends game in Galar would be interesting. You know, okay, so when you said things that were said, so I didn't think that's what you were going to say, because I see where you're going with that. I see the thought process there. Can I tell you what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say Alola.
Alola? I can't really see what they could do with Alola, because Alola didn't really have like that kind of story, especially because, you know, Alola got Sun and Moon, and then they got Ultra Sun and Moon. I mean, if they wanted to do something based off of the Ultra Beast, they could. But as far as like, because the Legends games are just basically these side stories of something that happened in the past, like Arceus, or something that happened like 5 years after the events of X and Y, I thought that they could go back into the past and cover the original Darkest Day in Galar.
That would be, I'd be into that. I like that. That's really good, actually. I would be a fan of that. And maybe like see like the origin story of the two heroes with the sword and the shield.
Yeah.
I think, you're slowly talking me into this. I like this. Like you're talking to me. Okay. So, but the reason I said Alola was what I thought you were going to say, because there's a lot of references to Alola in this game. There's a lot of references to like the Alolan region. There's a lot of references to it.
Like you can get the Alolan forms of some Pokemon.
Like I will say that one thing that I liked in this game was I like how it wasn't afraid to reference other games. I liked how, like, for example, there are a lot of references to Hisui. There's a lot of references to Legends Arceus. There's a lot of references in there about, like, you know, it might just be like a couple one-liners, but Hisui is mentioned several times in this game. Now, I'm going to give
Volo.
Oh, boy. Volo, oh, boy.
You remember that museum? That museum was one of my favorite parts of the game.
That was pretty cool. Like, seeing, like, all the stuff from, like, it felt like, again, they're not afraid to mention what happens in other games. I like that, though. I like that. Like, it reminds me of, you might not, I don't know if you know about this, but do you know in the Let's Go games, did you know that if you go back, you know, you can go back and you can rematch all the gyms. You can do that. Like in most Pokemon games. But if you go and you battle Koga makes, there's a statement. If you defeat him a second time, he makes a statement about how, you know, your journey throughout Kanto and then defeating the Pokemon League, becoming the champion, it's inspired him. His new goal, he says, is I want to one day be a part of the Pokemon League. And obviously,
Elite Four.
When you get into Gen 2, Koga is a part of the Elite Four in Kanto. He becomes
and his daughter took over his gym.
Exactly. Like, it mentions that. And it's like, I like when games are not afraid to reference that. Now, my idea may be a little bit crazier. And I said this in the group chat, and I was curious if you remembered it. I think it is. We are well overdue for a trip back to Hoenn in Gen 3.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We are overdue for a trip back to Hoenn, and I want Pokemon Legends Deoxys.
Oh, bro. Legends Deoxys.
I want Pokemon Legends Deoxys. I want that. Like or if you want maybe a lighter tone, because I know that these games maybe take on a little bit more of a serious tone compared to the mainline games. I guess, like, Scarlet and Violet had a serious tone to it. Like, especially at the end, had a very serious tone to it. But yeah, if you want a lighter tone, I think you could also maybe do Pokemon Legends Latios and Latias. I think you could maybe do that as well. I think you could do that as well. I think Gen 3, there are so many legendaries that are tied to the Hoenn region. You could do Pokemon Legends Rayquaza. You could do Pokemon Legends Kyogre. You could do Groudon. Like, there are so many legendaries that are tied to that region that I feel like you could do a lot of really interesting things with a game set in the Hoenn region.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking that too, because if we took place in Hoenn, we could actually look at the origin of Megastones, because that's where they originated from. There was a meteor that struck down in Hoenn that contained a bunch of Megastones. That's why Rayquaza actually has one of the most powerful Mega Evolutions in the game. And then we could also go back with the origins of Primal Groudon and Primal Kyogre. Like, I could definitely see that being a thing.
That right there, I think, could serve as an incredible backdrop for the main story, is this clash between Kyogre and Groudon. I think, especially seeing maybe the ancestors of Archie and Maxie, I think would be great. Yeah. I think seeing an ancestor to Steven, who I think Steven to this day is one of the most underrated Pokemon champions that's ever existed. I don't think Steven gets his fair credit as a Pokemon champion. I think my hot take with Pokemon has always been, I think the most balanced and well put together champion they have ever put together is Leon. I think Leon is the best champion they've put together ever. When you factor in difficulty, Pokemon typing, team structure, Leon to me is in a tier of his own. I think that second on that list is Cynthia.
Cynthia's my number one, yeah.
I think Cynthia is second. I think Steven is a very, very easy pick for third. He's a very easy pick for me, because Steven, for me, that's the first Pokemon League that I really remember is Sapphire and Ruby. And I think there is a lot you could do when you set that game at Hoenn, taking a look again at Primal Kyogre, Primal Groudon, you know, Rayquaza's involvement in it all. I mean, I think that there's a lot you could do. And I think that you also, again, you have Latios and Latias, you have Deoxys, you have all these legendaries. Like, there's a lot you could do with that. And I genuinely think that is a game that I just also feel like we are well overdue to go back to Hoenn. I think Hoenn is a great region. I know people are going to say too much water. I don't give a damn. I don't care. Just say that you have the attention span of a goldfish. Just say that you do. It's okay.
Hey, the too much water, though, also added the new dive mechanic, which I thought was really cool.
Especially if you played Sapphire and you had to go after Kyogre.
Yeah, diving underwater, catching Clam Pearl, Relicanth. Like, yeah, I liked it. I loved being able to dive.
When you especially look at some of the Pokemon that were introduced in that region, man. Look at that, to me, is one of the most perfect sets of starters that's ever been introduced. There is not a bad option. When you look at Torchic, Mudkip, and Treecko, there's not a bad option. Think about the other ones, man. You had Pokemon like Milotic that was introduced there. Like, you had some great Pokemon that were brought into that region. I think we're overdue to go back there. We are overdue to go back there. So that leads me into the last point, then we'll call it an episode. It has been a great episode, but we gotta wrap it up at some point. But I think that the biggest thing I want to see out of the next one, regardless of where they go, is whether they go and do what a lot of people have rumored, where it's Pokemon Legends Celebi, whether it's either of our ideas. The more I think about it, the more I love Pokemon Legends Eternatus. I love that. I love that idea. And seeing the Darkest Day, I love that a lot. the biggest thing that I think we need to see over the last four major Pokemon games, the new releases. So we're looking at Sword and Shield, Legends Arceus, Scarlet and Violet, Legends ZA. We have seen over those four games a very slow and deliberate evolution of Pokemon. A very slow, but very, very deliberate evolution. In Sword and Shield, it was the introduction of the wild area. It was a more open area that you could explore, and maybe and it broke up the gameplay of just going from gym to gym to gym. It broke that up. In Legends Arceus, they went into these full-blown wild areas, and they overhauled and they overhauled the capture mechanics entirely. They made it more accurate to what Pokemon the anime was, and it worked. Then in Scarlet and Violet, they completely shifted to a complete open world, and they kept a lot of those capture elements the same, albeit it kind of with more of a mainline twist on it, but they didn't really go back to the traditional style completely. They kept it very similar to Arceus. And now with Legends ZA, you have completely overhauled the battle system, and you've done it for the better, in my opinion. Now, the next one, put it all together. Put every bit of it together. The catching mechanics, the battle mechanics, the open nature of it. Do that. Give us voice acting in the cutscenes. And Matt, I think if that happens, we have got a contender on our hands for the greatest Pokemon game of all time.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
That's what I want to see. And if they do that, regardless of where it's set, I think that, again, you are looking at potentially the greatest Pokemon game ever put together, and I am excited to see where Legends goes next. So that is going to do it for this episode of Side Mission. You can follow us on Twitter at Side Mission Pod. You can check us out on Facebook as well at Side Mission Podcast. For Matt, I'm Rusty. Thanks for listening.